This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to this special episode of Messenger Insight. Pleased to be joined with some great friends here who are making a real ministry impact in our state, and I'll introduce them to you now. Chris Campbell serves with the 111 Project as Executive Director. Chris, thanks for being here.
Love it. So glad to be here.
Amy Cordova, who serves with Oklahoma Baptist Women's Ministry and Missions Partner. Amy, thanks for all your efforts.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And Pastor Jeremy Smith of Midwest City Eastwood. Thanks for being on here, Jeremy.
Absolutely.
Well, today we're going to be talking about foster care and what God's doing in Oklahoma with that, and specifically the care portal. And for those that may not have heard that term, care portal, I thought, Chris, you could begin and tell us just what is it and what's it designed to do?
Yeah. Care portal is a tool that we at 111 Project use to mobilize churches and to give them an opportunity to engage in local needs in their community. And so Care Portal is simply an online platform, a connecting technology that facilitates some care sharing between agencies like DHS or the local school and local churches that want to care and help with children and families that are there in crisis and in need.
And it's a searchable database. People can get emails. What kind of needs will they find out about?
Yeah, so the design is for the church to be at the center of the program and care. And so the church signs up and they get to choose how they want their people or their staff to be communicated to. But you learn about local opportunities in your community. And in the metro, we have lots and lots of needs, but even in the rural communities, we have needs and opportunities from opportunities to support foster and adoptive families. So we have a lot of needs around just helping, and Jeremy might even talk about this a little later, helping support them in that effort, to opportunities to help even with the biological families that we're trying to stabilize. Sometimes that lack of connection and support makes things a little complicated for them. And so to have a church wrap around them or some items addressed, that really helps that biological family, or even helping them get their kids back. And so at the point where they're making some good progress and having some maybe recovery with an addiction or challenge that maybe led to their removal, when they start making that progress, it allows for the church to come in and help them speed up that process of reunification by getting some beds or car seats or helping with some other miscellaneous items that the family might need.
That's awesome. Yeah. And something I love about it, churches of any size, Sunday school or small groups of any size can plug right in and make an immediate impact. Amy, you've helped lead Oklahoma Baptist to become involved in this. Can you talk about some of the things we're doing in this arena?
Yeah, absolutely. What I love about Care Portal is you are able to become aware of the needs in your own backyard, and it makes it really simple to meet those needs. Oftentimes, we're going about our daily lives, and we don't even know what's happening across the street or just a few miles down the road from us. And so Care Portal allows us to become aware of those needs and meet them. And oftentimes, it's easy things to provide, like a car seat or a mattress, maybe a washer and dryer, or something that we might already have in our garage that we're not using that we can provide for a family that actually needs it and could use it. And it just helps us to become better on mission in our own communities. It's not like we have to go somewhere to do it. It's literally around the corner from maybe the church or our kids' school where we can help out a need and reach out to those in our community.
That's great. You know, so often, you know, in the Bible we saw Christ or his followers, they'd see a felt need, and they would step in and meet it in the name of Jesus and share the good news. And that's so much what's going on here with that, just an open door for ministry.
Absolutely. These are our neighbors that we get to minister to and just reach out to. And so it's not someone far away. It's someone we can develop a relationship with and bring them in to maybe the church family, or our kids might even go to school together. In that way, they can know someone cares about them, someone loves them, someone wants their family to thrive and flourish, and the church is behind all those efforts.
I love it. So, Jeremy, you've helped your church step into this area, and I thought you could share your experience, just what prompted you to do that, how the experience has been, and any good you've seen come of that.
Sure. So a lot of this comes from my own heart and my family's story. We did foster to adopt. We fostered our boys for 2 years and then finalized adoption. And so that experience of having these two young boys come into our home, 3 and 1 at that time, and us not having anything. Me and my wife, we didn't have any biological children, and so my man cave quickly got turned into the boys' bedroom. And so I had a futon bed in there, and that was it. And so we were dependent upon our community, our church, and our friends, that suddenly they were showing up with cribs, pack and plays, toys, clothes, all these types of things. And so I've been in their shoes where it's suddenly you have all these needs and you wonder, how are we going to meet these? And so now seeing the opportunities through Care Portal of people that are in a very similar situation, that they suddenly have these needs, but they know that they can reach out and have those needs met, and bringing our church along, creating that culture and dynamic within our church of caring about foster and adoptive care, being pro-life, which means not just caring about the child in the womb, but caring about these young families. We had an opportunity to help just a couple of weeks ago. Very young couple, they chose life, but the child was born premature, and suddenly they didn't have time and they needed diapers. And so they reached out through Care Portal, and so we were able to send out a message to our church, and within 24 hours, one of our ministry offices was just filled with diapers and with wipes, and we were able to take those and deliver and make that connection and encourage that young couple. And so that's a blessing for, like Amy said, to help us see as a church. These are needs right here within a small radius of our church building, and these needs exist, and we have the opportunity to meet those.
I love that. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. You know, when we think about foster care, we hear the statistics, our hearts break at just the vastness of the need. And sometimes people get stuck thinking, well, if I can't do foster care directly right now, I can't do anything other than maybe pray. But we've seen people, this was how they got plugged in to doing something about it. Are you seeing people plug right in and their hearts change and feel more part of this, Chris?
Absolutely. I think foster care can seem overwhelming. You know, it seems like a really difficult jump maybe for people to take the polar plunge, you know, to do.
Yeah.
And there's some of us that I think are teed up, you know, our experiences in church and how the church has discipled us, whether it be mission trips or whether it be serving children and families from hard places, we're ready for that. And we need to take that plunge. But others in their discipleship journey, they need some additional experiences. And so what I really love about Care Portal, it's an easy way to wade in the water. Like, hey, maybe we should meet some people at DHS before we become, you know, directly partnered with them in foster care. Maybe we should meet some biological families before we're responsible for bridging, you know, and helping them try to get their kids back. And so Care Portal provides this when and if and how you want to serve opportunity, real low bar, real low entry. You can serve on your own time. You can schedule things real simply with, as Amy said, things that you may already have in your garage. But it's just as good for us and for the church to learn how to serve and how to get out of our concerns and our fears of safety and to go to a different part of the city or even just across the neighborhood a little bit in a different way and learn how to do ministry again, learn how to love people again. And sometimes that's the biggest obstacle that keeps people from sharing their faith is they don't even know how to start that conversation because they have no practice at it, you know? And so I love how Care Portal tees up a need that becomes the easy excuse for, hey, let's meet together. Let me come say hi and tell me about your kids and go to a home. And so lots and lots of opportunities for the church to be the church.
I love that. If people will go to oklahomabaptist.org and search for foster care, they'll find out how to get plugged in, or 111project.org/Oklahoma. Amy, you had shared some stories, other churches you had seen, about ones that did a bunk bed type deal. And are you seeing churches just take off and run with this?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where they are in the state. Every church can get involved. And so we are, how many counties do we have open
now? So we've got 59 counties that are open now. We're hoping here in the next year or so that we'll have the whole state launched. Mm-hmm. And so from all the way over to Hollis, Oklahoma, to Durant, to up in the Panhandle.
So all of Oklahoma will be open really, really soon. And so wherever you live in the state, there is a need. And these are vetted needs. And so if a church is asking, like, do they really need this bill paid for? these are needs that have been vetted by DHS to say this is legitimate and this is something you can really help them with. It's not a reoccurring need or something that could be abused in a sense. It's something that they actually need that the church can meet. And just get to know them and be a part of their lives. And oftentimes, when our churches step into a home, they meet the family. That's an initial need of why they go. But yet, they're able to provide something even greater of support in that community involvement where this family no longer feels isolated or on their own in their struggles, but they have a support system around them that we often find is essential to them getting health and getting back on their feet.
That's awesome. Yeah. Something you did, Jeremy, with your church, there was a need and someone wanted to – well, could you share the story about
yeah.
that when a recent need and someone wanted to take care of it all?
Yeah. So one of the things that came through my email was just a new foster placement. They needed some basketball shoes for a six-year-old child. And so when that came in, we looked at the opportunity and we said, okay, let's say $100. So we're going to send this out. I'm going to ask for four people to pledge $25 each. And so I send that out to our church through our text service. And immediately, within the next 5 minutes, I've probably got 13 people that have replied and said, we'll do it. But I had two people reach out specifically and say, we'll just do the whole $100. And I appreciate that generosity. I appreciate, and I'm not surprised that our church wanted to do that.
Did you buy him
Jordans? Actually, we did.
Shoe game, man. Shoe game. It's important.
So we did. Yes. Got to get that drip. but when those came in, I said, I appreciate the opportunity, the offer to cover it all. But we want to share the burden and share the blessing. Mm-hmm. We want to give different people opportunities to give towards that and feel like they are meeting that need. And so I've told them with each of ours, we've had the same thing happen. Somebody will say, hey, I'll pay for the whole thing for the baby gate or for whatever the need is. But I get to tell them, you know, if you want to donate that money into that designated fund, you are more than welcome to. But we want to divide this up to give multiple people in our churches the opportunity to feel like they have met that need as well.
I love that. So the whole gifts of all sizes, different kinds of needs, as you look through the list, it's very unique. You know, it's not only one type of need or only one level of gift. If someone's sitting out there thinking, well, I don't have spare money right now, they could plug in at a very minimal level and find a need right there in their community.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the reality of today, the world that we live in, we are more connected and have access to resources and opportunities more than any other day or time in history. And so I think some of the things that Jeremy's pointing out, the challenges for these families is actually isolation, mm-hmm. and it's a lack of connection and community. And if we look at our phones, like just the amount of contacts that we have, and, you know, the old day was the Rolodex, you know, but now it's hundreds, if not thousands of people that we can call. Let alone we have access and things to Facebook Marketplace. And so sometimes it may be just your willingness to problem solve or advocate to say, hey, how can we find this? Or it may be you have the ability to deliver something. And so maybe you've got the time and you've got a truck. And so at one of our community gatherings, we do a lot on the platform, but we also like to gather churches together to talk about how we can work together. And this last week over in Shawnee, Oklahoma, we had a group of churches that got together. And one church had a washer and dryer for a family, but they had no way to deliver it. And Judy from New Hope Baptist Church over there said, hey, I got a truck. I can pick that up.
Wow.
And we'll come pick it up and deliver it on behalf of you. And so we had three or four churches that were able to leverage what they had. And sometimes it's time and delivery or doing a little internet search, you know, on Facebook mm-hmm. Marketplace and saying, hey, I can pick up a used, you know, whatever to help meet this need. And so it's that kind of stuff that everybody can be involved in some way.
I love that. So can you give us an update, Chris, on the big picture of foster care in Oklahoma? Is, you know, we've seen statistics and the staggering numbers of those needing families.
Yep.
Is the needle moving? Where are we at? What needs to be done next?
Yeah,
what are you seeing?
Oklahoma can be tremendously proud. I mean, I think the work of the local church, the work of our state agencies, everybody has really moved the needle from maybe 2012 to even 2015. And so as of this last month, there's almost half the amount of children that are in foster care that were back in those times. So not maybe less than 10 years ago. And so I think a great part of that is the work of Oklahoma Baptist and other churches in the community saying, hey, we're going to make this important. Oklahoma Baptist has done that. A lot of other church groups are doing that as well. And so we're seeing the church kind of rise up and saying, hey, we want to be involved. With that, though, we always need more foster families. We have certain communities where kids can't be together with their siblings because we don't have enough foster homes. We have kids that can't stay in their home community because there's not a home for them that's close by. And that makes it really difficult because if our goal is family restoration and the kids on a frequent basis can't go see mom and have visitation because mom lives 2 to 3 hours away from where, and the kid lives 2 to 3 hours away, it makes that really, really difficult. So we need more foster families. We right now are seeing about 70% of all the needs on Care Portal get met, which is phenomenal. Those are needs that weren't getting met before. But there's still that 30% that we're really burdened by. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it's a car seat that keeps a dad from starting the process of having visitation.
Wow.
Because he can't go safely pick up his child. And he may have job and employment, but he's barely making things by. And it's that car seat that actually provides him the hope, you know, to say, hey, there's a possibility. There's people that believe in me. There's people that care for me that keeps him going on the road to recovery. And it's that car seat that actually provides the legitimate connection of the church to say, hey, we're cheering for you in the midst of this situation. And so we're seeing great progress. We need more help. But man, it's good to see what God is doing in and through the local church. I mean, even like what Pastor Jeremy, I'm like, he's been a part of the solution, right? Mm-hmm. And when I go in the community and listen to the stories of our pastors and church leaders, they're leading the way in this. The church already cares. We're just providing some additional on-ramps and some mobilization of some additional resources that I think, in my opinion, can solve the crisis, which is really exciting.
Well, thank you for sharing those numbers and update. And, you know, we think about foster care as an issue, but really it's people. It's right. Families. It's meeting people's needs in the name of Jesus. And, you know, it ties in, you know, you've done a lot of theological studies, Jeremy, mm-hmm. with your seminary and all that, and you all have as well. This ties into the gospel very squarely, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, meeting those physical needs leading to those spiritual needs. I think about the connections that we have in our community already. Our church has partnered with an organization that provides housing and training for moms with children that needed to get into a safe place. We've done that for years. And so suddenly now, they are part of Care Portal. And so we'll get those needs through this community and we'll bring the needs to that mom. And she's like, oh, I've been in your church building. You guys hosted us for a dinner last month mm-hmm. or something along those lines. And so again, these multiple points of contact that we get to have with these individuals, and that just continues to layer in, the church really does love you. Jesus really does care about you. And it presents that opportunity to give the gospel to them as well.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And something I want to highlight awesome. That Jeremy brought up is we want the Care Portal to be the churches, to be the communities. And so we have a great partnership with Oklahoma DHS. They're the largest state agency. And most of our child welfare and DHS folks would say they serve 1 in 3 Oklahomans in some way, which is hard to even put your arms around. But we want, once Care Portal's launched in a community where we have enough churches, we have to have enough churches on board to say, hey, we're ready for the needs that are going to come in so that the partners have a good experience, but also the churches don't get overwhelmed. And so that when we're talking about launching counties, that's what that means. But once we get a community kind of off the ground, it really is on the onus of the church to say, hey, actually, we like how this is working. We're able to delegate some of this responsibility to our people, get it out of the seat of the pastor to have another thing to do, you know. But maybe, hey, we want to bring the school on board, or maybe, hey, we want to bring on another local community partner. We're starting to add the Hope Pregnancy Centers as part of Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children. So we can serve, you know, moms who are pregnant and help them parent. We can serve our DHS office, we can serve our school, but we can't direct all that as a ministry, as a one-on-one project. But the local church can say, hey, we already care about these groups or these organizations. could the Care Portal platform be helpful in facilitating some of those connections? And if the church wants to do it, we want to do it. And so what I would say to our church leaders that are listening to this is we want to help you engage more people and more families and more mobilize more of your congregation to action. And you take the leadership in that, and we're here just to support you and cheer for you and help make the process simpler.
Yeah, I love it. So, Amy, you've had a real leading role with this whole arena of foster care for Oklahoma Baptist. You were part of some of the early events we did and the ongoing efforts. If someone's out there listening and wants to plug in, could they get in touch with your office? What are some great on-ramps here?
Yeah, absolutely. We can get them connected to whoever they need to. And what's great about this is the context of the church, whatever context that is, there is a way that they can serve those in their community. And so it can be from small groups to a church-wide effort. However the context is with the church community, they can serve and be a part of something super special happening in their community. We want more churches to be involved, and this is a great way for them to get involved. And I would say that Care Portal and meeting the needs in the community is a hands-on discipleship tool for our churches to use in helping them navigate what does it look like to share with those in need? What does it look like to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to have those conversations and meet people in their communities? And so it really changes the heart of the church, not just us meeting those needs and that family that we're impacting, but also the heart of the church, mobilizing the church to do the work that we've been commissioned to do. And so it's been super special to watch. There's much more work to be done. Mm-hmm. And so I just challenge our churches that aren't involved to get involved and to see the benefits of what this looks like when someone sees outside their daily lives what's actually happening in their community around them. And they'll see life a little bit different. They might go at a different pace and having conversations with people who are hurting or people who are in need.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And one of the concerns, awesome. I mean, Thanks. Amy kind of brings up here is some churches I know they're saying, man, we barely have the funds to kind of take care of the needs of our congregation, let alone to be doing some outreach. And what I would just highlight is we actually have the problem right now if we have resources that are being made available in the community and we don't have churches that are able to do the legwork locally for us. And so we've got donors that are providing funds. We've got we did a big Oklahoma bunk bed build with the OU football team this last year. And so we've got bunk beds that are already been pre-built that a lot of our pastors were a part of building. And we have them positioned in different places across the state. Well, we need people to pick those up and deliver them. Amy has some resources that are available. And so really the issue I'd say to a church leader saying, I don't know if we've got budget for this, is the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Issue is people. We need more people to say yes. And one of the things I love about Care Portal is that it helps delegate some of that responsibility and sharing the burden to the church that really the state has bore, the state has bore the crisis of children and families, and they weren't meant to bear that burden. Like the church and the community was meant to bear that burden. And so we're just kind of pulling back the responsibility that I think the church knows that we should have. And that's being the hands and feet of Jesus in the local community.
That's awesome. Well, y'all, I applaud your efforts. One of my mentors taught me that sometimes God will give you a burden for something and a passion and then a blessing. And I see that with each one of you. You've felt the burden for this. You have the passion for this and you've seen the blessing of it. So go to oklahomabaptist.org to find out more or 111project.org/Oklahoma. Chris, on a final note, can you tell us what the 111 vision is and why it's called 111?
Absolutely.
Just leave us with that.
So we have 6,200 churches in the state of Oklahoma. What we know is we need about 1,000 foster families every year. Now that the numbers are going down, we probably could use even less than that to really handle the crisis, meaning we have kids waiting on families instead of families waiting on kids in the state of Oklahoma. So we've got kids at shelters, kids waiting at DHS offices because we don't have enough foster families. So the simple idea is if we had one church recruit one family for this one purpose to end the crisis, we have more than enough. I love the passage in Exodus where the tabernacle was being completed and all what was said to the people is, hey, we don't need any more stuff. We got everything that we need. There's a vision in the kingdom of God that there's more than enough. And so if one church in the state of Oklahoma would recruit and support a foster family, would serve one child welfare family every month, that simple action every year and every month actually would end the crisis in our state. And with 1,800 plus Oklahoma Baptist mm-hmm. churches, yeah. we could even do it just with the Oklahoma Baptist churches. So that's the yeah. vision.
Love it. Love it. Well, y'all, thank you. And again, go to oklahomabaptist.org for more. And thank y'all for coming on the podcast today and all you do.
Honored.
Yours. Okay. Blessings.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.